in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Sounds like our guy Chu has some big plans this weekend.
I don't know about big.
Oh, geez, here we go again. It's like the Cubs Brewer series all over
big.
Again.
Yeah, because that was ginormous. Big.
No
season
one said
changing.
It was ginormous. We said it was a big series. Then Chewy reframed it to say it was a huge series.
Well, I'm curious, because I'm a curious person.
Curiosity killed the cat, remember
so,
that? That, I heard, is not how the phrase goes.
How's it go?
Now I got to look it up. I saw this the other day on Instagram. This is how this happens. Curiosity killed the cat.
I thought it was a feline.
But, and there's a rest, satisfaction brought it back.
Because cats have nine lives?
Maybe. All I know is it said everybody thinks it's curiosity killed the cat, and it's supposed to deter you from it maybe stepping out of your comfort zone or following that lead. But it said most people don't know that the next line is, but satisfaction brought it back.
I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with anything.
Cats have attitudes anyways.
Yeah.
They need an
damn
attitude
right
adjustment.
Do. Yeah.
Unlike the, all of
why
us
do they
on
think
the
they're
show?
So cool everywhere they walk?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm a cat.
Cats suck.
Nah.
Stink. Get out of
here. I'd rather pet a cat than a dog.
You're petting the wrong cats.
Why?
Dogs are much more appreciative
they're
when
they're wiry.
You pet them. Huh? What do you mean they're wiry?
They're not soft. Like maybe a poodle.
What type of dogs are you petting?
Can I tell my damn story?
Well, if you don't say such ridiculous things.
Okay, we'll get back to it. So we have friends in Chicago that live in Tampa with us. Good friends. I gave him a great nickname. My mafia nicknames are the best.
Sure.
Billy Steaks.
Is this his nickname or another
his.
Example?
Okay. I gave it to him. And he loves it.
Because he likes steak?
He's a great cook.
Do you spell steak S-T-E-A-K or S-T-A-K-E?
I've never spelled it.
Well, doesn't
that
it...
tracks.
Wait, hold on.
I got Donnie knee brace. That's a good one, right?
Does he wear a knee brace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, what gave it away? How did you come to that conclusion?
So, we're meeting them in Racine. They love supper clubs. They love supper. And I love supper clubs. I think supper clubs are so cool. So, we're meeting them at Hobnob. You ever hear of it?
Yeah. I've
in Racine?
Hobnob, yeah.
Looks cool. Hour, 10 minutes.
That's a bit of a trek for you.
How far would you drive to go to a good restaurant?
See, part of that depends upon where you live, because now that I live in Milwaukee, not that far. I don't have to go that far to find a good restaurant. However,
I'm
when,
talking,
I was younger, like when we had to go and like for homecoming to take your date to an actual restaurant, like you had to drive. There's not a lot of great restaurants.
Did you go to Milwaukee?
We would drive to Madison, because Madison was about 45 minutes. We could get to the east side of Madison in 45 minutes. So that's what we would do a lot in terms of taking like your date to a nicer restaurant. Because, again, Ginger's Hideaway in Horicon, you know, is not exactly
Ginger's.
Not the place that you're going to be taking your, you know, your homecoming date.
But Ishnala, that is the end-all, be-all of all supper clubs.
Yeah.
I would turn and burn. That's an hour 30.
For you, yeah.
Would you turn and burn or no?
At Ishnala, if I'm going up to Ishnala, I'm probably staying over in the Dells.
Okay. How far would you drive?
Hour? Maybe?
Because when I lived in Green Bay, I would drive to
Milwaukee?
Serafino's.
Where's that?
Which is in Sheboygan, and that's a good hour 15.
Mm-hmm.
A turn and burn.
Okay. You would drive or they drive you?
I ain't driving home. just like tonight.
That's just responsible.
I ain't driving home. I'll drive there.
Wait, what time are your reservations?
7.
Okay, so you spend, what, 2 hours at dinner? How long do you spend at a supper club?
2 hours. Starts with cocktail, old-fashioned,
right? Again, feels good, right? You don't want to rush
No.
Like
yeah.
That. You want to be able to enjoy, savor it.
So probably, what, half hour at the bar and then dinner and then bolt? Probably 2 hours.
Yeah, you probably have a
nine
dinner post, you know,
home
a post drink dinner,
home by,
or post dinner drink.
Home by 10:30.
Yeah, that's not bad. I don't think
most people would drive.
You don't think most people would drive the hour and a half?
Yes.
Or hour 10 for you?
Correct.
Hour 10. Joshy, what is it for you? How far will you drive for a good restaurant? Something that, like, you can tell our guy over here is salivating.
It's probably a half hour. It would need to be, for me to drive over an hour, it would need to be like I'm going to a five-star Michelin-rated type thing, because I believe in Milwaukee there are plenty of things that would offer any sort of fare, and some of it very, very good, depending on where you find yourself. I just don't see the need to drive that far.
For a cool place? Cool place, good food?
Okay, so that's interesting. What makes it cool?
Like Ishnala, right? They got trees growing out of
it is. The arborist over here. Yeah. I think we
They've got the river there. They've got
the bar,
a couple different bars.
Walk down, yeah. And it's cool. It's just the ambiance. I think ambiance is huge.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's got that old school feel to it.
An ambiance can cover the warts of an average meal. How's that?
Interesting.
Can the company do that too? If you're with good people?
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Because I'll probably have prime rib, which most supper clubs have.
Yep.
Not expecting anything great.
Our guy's got 12 hours before he's even going to walk through the door of the supper club. Yeah. And you're over here like...
Oh, I already know what I'm ordering. Right?
So jazzed.
Well, what is it? Give me your order.
Probably French onion soup.
All right.
Salad. Of course. The Caesar. I don't know. Apps. What's a good app at a supper club? You know what I'm feeling? Some bacon wrapped water chestnuts.
Really?
Very simple.
What is that called? Ramaki?
Correct.
Ramaki? You in or you're out? The problem with ramaki is if the water chestnuts aren't crunchy, they're terrible.
Gotta be crunchy. Yeah. It's the texture.
Throw them away.
Yeah. You gotta have that.
Yeah.
Because the bacon is not going to be crunchy. It's going to be chewy.
Yeah, because it has to wrap around it.
I've never been to a supper club.
Oh, ever?
Any of them at all?
Correct.
You haven't accidentally happened to do a supper club?
No, I've never been. Huh. So I think I got to make that a to-do list thing.
There's a great one by you, not far.
All right.
Jailhouse, I think it's called. It's probably... 20-25 minute drive.
Okay, I'll take a look at that.
Ambiance is
this summer.
Awesome.
I got to get my butt to a supper club, right? Yeah. Got to make it happen. I also saw something, and the reason I asked about what you're looking for.
I'm surprised
when
we haven't kicked you out of the state yet.
I know, right?
You've been here for a while. Between your time at Marquette, your time at Fox 6, and now this time around, you've been here quite a while.
I've been keeping it under wraps, dude.
I contend there is a child born within the past 3 weeks that's been to a supper club.
Well, yeah. 3 weeks?
It's like
3 days.
Sweet Home Alabama here. You have a baby in a bar. Yeah, it's not shocking that you would have a baby in a supper club here in Wisconsin. I saw something on the internet the other day, and this is why I bring this up about the ambiance and what do you need for like a must-go-to place. There were some dudes a few years back that created an entire restaurant online only. And what they did was they put out some social posts, and then they went to Yelp and they did some Yelp reviews, and they said that it was a reservation only, but anytime anyone called the number, they said they were completely booked until 3 months down the road. So then people were saying, okay, we'll take that reservation and we'll take that reservation. And then they kept putting out fake posts about how great everything was, some pictures that they took around the kitchen type of thing. And the restaurant didn't exist. It was not a thing, but people wanted to be there because it kept clicking up the list of the top rated restaurants in their city. It was a total fabrication. It was totally didn't exist. And I find that interesting that when Chewy talks about places he wants to go, some of it is just the idea of, well, everyone else has been there. Well, this is the number one place in town. Like, what's a spot in Milwaukee that you hear about that everybody goes to? And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we should go there. Because everyone else has gone.
The new one is room service, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like the new hot spot where it's really hard to get a reservation. But places like Carnivore are places where there is a certain exclusivity and a certain elevation of fare there where it is like it's not uncommon at Carnivore to run in with any professional athlete that's in town for whatever reason.
Like Samford, you got to make like a month in advance. Yeah. You got to make plans to go there a month in advance because it's that far out to get a reservation.
Super bougie though.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's Sometimes they get too cute.
Of course.
Yeah, but I mean, Samford, it stood the test of time. It stood the test of time. It's been there for 30 years.
Right.
Yes.
There are, and Jen, sort of to your point, there are places you can see are trying to manufacture the exclusivity. And then you get there, you try it, and you go, well, that probably wasn't worth it. And you guys are doing a thing here. Like, this is largely marketing, not something like the places you guys have mentioned where it's a long history of quality and people being satisfied that then increase the amount people want to go there.
I got people weighing in on the Carbless Talking text line this morning, 800-990-3776. And this one is the one I want to start with. It says, as someone who's never lived in Wisconsin and hears about supper clubs all the time, what exactly is one? Justin in Jacksonville. What makes a supper club a supper? Can you just call yourself a supper club? Or are there certain requirements and distinctions that you have to adhere to or meet in order to be called a supper club?
Well, it comes from the old days where wasn't there dancing there too? Way back?
I mean, probably.
Dancing or entertainment?
I mean, nowadays, first and foremost, you need to have a prime rib Saturday night special.
Yeah. And
first and foremost,
and
if you don't, if you're not, if you do not have a prime rib Saturday night special, you are not a supper.
Carpeting throughout,
yes.
another one, yes.
And you have to make a really, really good old fashioned.
Of course, yeah. For a Wisconsin supper club, you need to make a good old fashioned.
Yes,
yes.
Is there like an environment you were talking about, vibe that it sort of has to fall into? Wood paneling? Are we talking like
it can't hurt?
Antlers on the wall. I mean,
when you're in the Northwoods, yeah, but it's not, you know, it's not a requirement. But again, the further north you go, the more likelihood of some sort of animal head on the wall increases.
A bar that takes up a quarter of the restaurant where everybody who is waiting for their meal or just finished their meal can have it.
Relish tray.
Relish trays are big.
Mm-hmm. You got to have a good relish tray with the little pickles.
Gherkins.
Yeah. I ain't sharing.
What's the difference between that and a cornichino, something like that? You guys familiar with that?
You're getting a little highfalutin for us.
Yeah, I thought that's what they were called.
No,
cornichinos
called
or something?
And good amount of food.
Oh, yeah. The menu.
You can't leave there hungry, are you?
Oh, no. Yeah. The portions are
so you're plentiful. Getting, you get your entree, Jen, and it usually comes with bread. The good ones are soup and salad included.
Oh, soup and salad.
Sometimes it's one or the other.
Choice of potato.
Yeah.
Preferably, I'm totally unable to determine what the weather is outside once I step in.
Yes.
It could be a thunderstorm, a snowstorm. I won't know because it's so dim in there. The windows are usually covered. You can't really see.
And desserts
like
got to have
Vegas.
What? Desserts got to have. What's a Wisconsin dessert at a supper club?
Like an apple something or a cheesecake. I'm just throwing things out there.
Ice cream based liquor drinks are big.
Oh, those are
a grasshopper.
Nailed it, Joshy. Absolutely nailed it. So for the sake of our conversation, I'm going to reformat it like this. How far would you drive for a good supper club? Chewy is driving 1 hour and 10 minutes tonight to go to a supper club in Racine with his friends from Chicago. How far would you drive for a good supper club here in Wisconsin? 800-990-3776. Man, we got a lot of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talking text line. Alan says, no TVs. Supper club, no TVs. True, false?
Yeah, I think that is true.
That is true.
Yeah, that's a good call.
There are some modern ones that will put one at the bar.
Yeah.
So you can check the Brewers game. But no one's really locked in. Like, they aren't there
for
the game.
No. You might peek up just to see what the score is, and that's about it.
Yeah.
Dave from Aaron says, Jen, there's a quaint little supper club in Richfield called Alpine Retreat. Seats no more than 30 people. You guys can go and have one of the best meals with drinks and desserts for under $160. It is must go. Then Dustin weighs in saying the Blue Heron Supper Club in Big Bend. All you can eat fried baked fish and fried chicken on Fridays. Under $15 and a great old fashioned. Sounds like people have got their spots.
Yeah, typically, you get good value.
Yeah, typically, yeah, some sort of fish deal, fish fry on Friday nights.
And why am I picturing like a roll? There's got to be a roll somewhere in there, right?
Sure.
Like,
you're getting
a basket
bread.
Of rolls or a one on your plate. All right, I'm starting to get the picture. You're starting to paint the picture for me of what we're seeing at a supper club. 800-990-3776. How
Josh's
far would
point,
you...
it's kind of hard to see.
Yeah.
That might help sometimes, you know? Tastes great. Does it look good? No idea. We are going to talk to Jason Wilde this morning. We're going to talk to Craig Carmisen this morning. We, of course, have Week in Rechew. And Is Lambeau Field going to be one of one when it comes to the other NFL stadiums? We'll get into that conversation with Jason Wilde right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been shaping the future for businesses for 167 years. 167 years. And for the last 15, right here in Milwaukee, they offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making, and extensive experience to help navigate the ever-changing business landscape with your business in mind. Okay, so what does that mean? At Fifth Third, they're big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, see the 167 years, yet empowered to make local decisions. Again, 15 years here in Milwaukee, and build strong community connections. I can attest to that. The people that they have at Fifth Third Bank, fantastic, and very active members in the community. Experience the commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, Custom Solutions, built around your goals. Member FDIC.
Ready?
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Keep getting us your reaction to Chewy's question this morning. How far would you drive for a good supper club? He's going to do a little over an hour tonight to enjoy dinner with some pals. Folks are weighing in, man. Tracy from Keewaskum says, we do a supper club Sunday, personalized tours from Waldo. I don't know where's Waldo? Oh, okay. All right.
I've driven through it. It's up 41. Yeah.
Yeah. People trying to guess where Chewy is going this evening. You automatically get a fresh basket of bread, a relish tray, a Caesar salad, and creme brulee for dessert. That from Chef Ed.
That sounds good.
Jason Wilde, why don't you answer our trivia question this morning? How far would you drive for a good supper club?
15 minutes.
Okay. Sounds about right. And you'd be on your way to one of the girls' practices, I'm guessing, right? And you'd have to swing through and grab some dinner maybe while they're at practice type of thing?
Yeah, I don't know how many times since the pandemic we've been to, like, a restaurant and, like, sat down and spent a couple of hours there. Like, I don't think we do that very often now that I stop to think about it. I think there's
Jason,
probably count them on a handful of times.
Is Eve still there? Is that Riverside? Remember Eve's?
Good question. I didn't realize you were such a supper club guy.
Oh, I love them. Love them.
Did I miss the explanation as to why?
I just
like
love
the origin story.
I love the vibe.
Can I cut through all the crap?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's drinking.
I like a good old fashioned, and I love prime rib. No, Eve's was the place that Free made famous.
Yeah, I always...
You know what I'm talking about.
It was always interesting that the real reason for that parking lot crash was never reported. And the switcheroo. Charles Jordan, right?
Charles Jordan. There was someone else that was... Jason, there was someone... Yes, I'll tell you off the air.
What a weird thing you guys have going on here. It's like you're talking in code.
There was someone else there that kind of led to his demise as well.
So, for those that don't know this story, since Chewy and I will stop talking in code, Antonio Freeman was involved in a traffic accident in the parking lot of a supper club. And this is the kind of friend Charles Jordan was. They switched spots, and Charles Jordan took the blame and claimed that he was the one who was driving and crashed the vehicle in the parking lot of the supper club. I mean, I don't know. I like you guys. I'm not going to
fall on the sword.
I'm not going to take the blame in a car accident and then face like legal charges for you three. Like, I love you, but come on.
Yeah.
And obviously, yes. And there was some other, let me say, amorous activity going on in the vehicle that may have caused some of the crash.
But
so,
do you get what I'm talking about when I say there was someone else there that led to his eventual demise?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I definitely
did.
Do.
You know that? Did you know that?
I, I did.
Okay.
He told me that. About a year later.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Do you want to share with the class what you're talking about?
I don't. Yeah.
Figure it
out. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Again, my only clue is amorous activity. Chewy, look it up. All right. What else? What else you got?
Jason, Andy Reid considered a top five coach of all time.
Ooh. Lombardi, Paul Brown,
Shula,
Bill Belichick, Don Shula was one of the ones I was going to say. He's got to be in the discussion. I was talking with somebody yesterday just randomly about Mike Holmgren. I still can't believe that the stupid new rule about having to get 80% of the vote from that committee that he did not get in. I understand he's not Bill Belichick, and if he'd have won a second Super Bowl, either with you knuckleheads or with Seattle, mm-hmm. it would have been a shoo-in thing. But the dude took two organizations to the Super Bowl. Like, how did anyone not vote for him in that? And now, you know, Belichick is going to be on the ballot for coaches next year, so Mike's going to have to wait another year, and I hope he's extremely healthy and he gets to be inducted while he's still with us. That was so stupid.
Did the media like Mike?
I did. I don't want to speak for anybody else. I do know that he read our work more than other coaches, especially LaFleur, because he used to call Tom Silverstein at 6 o'clock in the morning to ream him out for something he didn't agree with in the newspaper. But yeah, I think so. I think all of us, and especially now, like, I think all of us have really good relationships with him, but no, I mean, he could be tough to deal with, especially, you know, for me anyway. You know, I started in 96, so I had 96, 97, 98. Obviously things were not always great in 98 when he was yelling at fans and stuff, but like, yeah, he paid attention to the media. Like, he read everything that was written, and he corrected things that he believed were inaccurate. So I think there were times when it was contentious for those guys. You know, I wasn't our lead writer, so it wasn't quite as, you know, it took him probably 2.5 of those 3 years to know who the hell I even was.
For whatever it's worth, guys, I did pull up the NFL head coach's wins and winning percentage. Shula's won in both categories. Well, he's won for career wins, 328. His career win percentage is 67%, 67.7. Halas has 318 career wins, 682 for his career winning percentage. Bill Belichick is third, and Andy Reid is fourth. 273 career wins, and he has a 65.1 winning percentage. So that would put him in the top five.
Pretty good.
Paul Brown, you mentioned, has fewer wins, but he has a 67.2 win percentage.
So, and Reid did not win a Super Bowl in Philly. He's won all of his Super Bowls in Kansas City, right? He went to one in Philly. Right?
Went to one in Philly. Went to, I don't know, 1,000 NFC Championship games. Felt like they're going every year and just couldn't get over that hump.
It's true. Yep, I remember that. Yeah, he's in the top five. Thank you, Jen, for that statistical backup.
Jason, what is Matt LaFleur's biggest strength as a head coach?
Boy, this list has really gotten everybody all riled up, hasn't it?
Well, because
we did the same thing.
Well, so here's my thing with that list, Jason. Like, PFF is also like releasing all these other, you know, lists of positions. And right now, of all the ones that they continue to release, like, running back's the only one they're top 10 in, and yet they somehow have made the playoffs every year but one under Matt LaFleur.
Gabe's trying to set up an argument here is what he's trying to do, okay?
I mean, if they're this bad everywhere else, like, how are they doing it?
Yeah. So I think he's got a couple of strengths, first of all. Secondly, just to double check, was Kevin O'Connell on that list?
No,
he was not
about yesterday?
On the list.
Mm-mm.
No,
like I think he's better than Matt LaFleur. Secondly, I think they're both really good. Okay, so I don't understand what the metric was for that. And there's a couple guys on there. The Sean Payton one really bugs me. I don't see it. and maybe they'll have a bunch of success this year and I'll owe him an apology. But like, I just don't, you know, he's Mike McCarthy, but not as heavy set. So people seem to have more respect for his resume than Mike's, even though Mike's is almost exactly the same.
Sean Payton being on the list or Sean Payton being number two on the list? Which irks you more?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I mean,
why not both?
Two is too high. Like, I would, I think Kevin O'Connell is I would love to play for Kevin O'Connell. I think Matt LaFleur has a couple of strengths. First of all, as I think has been demonstrated, I think he's really good with young players. I think he's a really good teacher, and I think he has figured out, perhaps as in survival mode because of the rosters that he's been given the last several years. I think he's really good at getting as much as he can out of young players. And then I think despite last year, which caused me to question this slightly, and I keep going back to, you know, he was talking at the end of the season about them being sloppy, which you never want to be hearing that word down the stretch. And then when he used the Mike McCarthyism of, well, our guys have to win their one-on-ones and get open. And I actually said this to him in a private conversation subsequently. I'm like, man, I thought the whole point of your offense is that you scheme guys open, that they don't need to win their one-on-ones because you've schemed them open. And I do think that he and his coaching staff this offseason, not my comments specifically, but that feeling that they had down the stretch last season, have kind of redoubled their efforts to make sure that their offense is doing what it's supposed to be doing. And so I think we're going to see some more wrinkles that we haven't seen before. I think it's really going to be interesting. The guy that I am, you know, I'm not betting money on him, but the guy that I'm really interested to see if he has a greater role is Luke Musgrave, because I think he wants to do a lot more to tight end stuff. And I think that he's predicated a lot of the offensive thoughts on that. And so I think those are his two strengths. I think he's really good with young players, and I think he's a really good offensive schemer, even if it didn't feel that way down the stretch last season.
All right, Jason, I guess it's time to let you go.
That was awkward.
Yeah. Sorry. I was trying to decide if I should ask another question or if I should just roll into Craig Karmazin, but since we are sort of kind of keeping the clock, I figure we'll just let you go on that.
Sounds great. Always great to talk to you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jason.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. We do have Craig Karmazin coming up next, and I do want to get into this conversation with him as well, because we were trying to figure out what the metrics are for the head coaches in that Pro Football Focus list. Is it Super Bowls? Is it Super Bowl appearances? Is it winning percentage? Is it just a general vibe you get when you're around the guy, right? We'll talk to Craig Karmazin about that right after this.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. We've talked about them for years here on ESPN Milwaukee, and there is a reason. Because Pella is the best in the industry. They have a product line for every budget, and right now, you can get no interest, no payments for up to 2 years. I'm getting my front door redone at the house. And of course, the only people I was going through was going to be Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. I can't wait. Finally had that phone call this week of that install date happening in about a month. Can't wait for the beautiful new front door for our house from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. But again, maybe if you're looking for new windows, if plans to wait, get it now, and then wait to start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions apply, and 6/30/2025. So set your free in-home consultation today. PellaWI.com. And when you go to Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, make sure you tell them Gabe Neitzel sent you.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Counsell in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's Friday, Friday.
check in with our friend, Craig Karmazin. Good morning, Craig. How are you doing today?
I'm awesome. How are y'all?
Where are you today?
What? No, your connection's not great.
You're digitizing.
My?
We're going to reconnect. We'll come back. Yep. Bye. Click. Okay.
I had multiple minutes of conversation with Craig. It was fine.
Oh, of course it was. And he comes on and he's like,
Where's he at?
He's in town. He was at Made Him Believe. He was telling me all about it, telling me how great the event went.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I imagine he's somewhere close.
Thank you for relaying that information. Also, guessing that we would have discussed that with Craig shortly, but we have to get him back on the line. 800-990-3776 if you want to get in on our conversation. The Chewy prompted this morning. He has an adventure planned for this evening with his wife and some pals. They're going to a supper club, and he is driving over an hour to get there. How far would you drive to go to a supper club? Let's ask Craig Karmazin that very question. Craig, not sure if you're as big a fan of supper clubs as our guy right here, but he's driving an hour and 10 minutes to go to a supper club tonight. How far would you drive for a good supper club?
I would probably limit it to somewhere in the 7 to 8 hours.
Wait, what? Okay. Maybe you're digitizing again. 7 to 8 hours?
I mean, like, it would be about, if you're going somewhere for the experience, it's about the experience. So, like, getting there is as much fun as, like, I don't care about food. So, like, to me, all food is kind of the same. It's more like fuel. So, like, if you're going somewhere for a fun experience, then, like, enjoy the experience. Enjoy the ride.
Well, you have a utilitarian relationship with food?
Yeah, what in the hell?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not really that into it. Yeah.
Wow, this is a big revelation here.
Do you have a favorite food, or is it just all kind of the same?
Yeah. No, like, I love pizza, I love pasta, like, I like ice cream, like, I'm not like...
So he's 10.
Yeah. Peanut butter and jelly?
Cheez-Its?
I like, without the jelly, peanut butter without the jelly. By the way, there are these Cheez-Its that actually are like cheese puffs that my daughter didn't want the other day, and they're so good. They're like cheese doodles. But they're Cheez-Its, but they're puffy. They're unbelievable.
Yeah, they're called cheese balls. Everyone loves cheese balls.
Oh, man.
Right?
Until they destroy the roof of your mouth like Captain Crunch.
Craig, did you see the video of the Strofer throwing out the first pitch?
No. Yeah,
well,
I did.
Well, here's the deal. I tried to, because he's embarrassing the station, and I tried to suspend him for a year from touching anything involved in any kind of sport, and he is not adhering to it. And me and Joshy were talking before the show. What are some basic things an athlete should be able to do? We said, like, throw a ball, catch a football from a jugs machine. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so are you... I think, Chewy, what you're getting is that it's the opposite of suspending him from a year. I think you're basically asking him to lean into embarrassing himself every 2 months. So you're saying at Packers training camp, we need to work with the Packers to have him try to catch a football from a jugs machine. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think he should. I really think the trombone or the tuba should be his wheelhouse.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Like, it has to be a sitting band. If they're doing a marching band, I don't trust him to play a trombone and march at the same time.
I agree. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I threatened to move him over to the truth if he didn't adhere to my punishment.
Well, I'm just going to put this out there.
He would be the least athletic person on that staff as well.
Yeah, that'd be one of those trades where they immediately release the guy that they just traded for.
Another one I said, Craig, and basketball is probably the best measure of whether a person's an athlete or not. You should be able to make 5 out of 10 free throws.
That's fair. I mean, I think it's more like if your free throws are all, like, hitting the rim. Like, when you see someone get up and, like, they air ball free throws or they hit the backboard before it hits the rim.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. I don't think you could always look at just make or miss on a free
throw. Now, 5 out of 10 is a strange – I'm not sure that I could nail that down with Giannis, but Giannis has struggled with free throws. Is there anybody in this world, universe, galaxy that would say Giannis isn't an athlete?
No.
No. So to me, that becomes tough to make that the barometer.
Well, then you should be able to know just by looking at a person and how he shoots a basketball, whether he's an athlete.
I think there's a little of that. I do think there's some of that. Now, there's sometimes that awkward form where all of a sudden they can make it. But I agree. When I look at someone shoot a basketball, I judge. I judge pretty quickly.
Well, because the thing is, and I know Josh is now sharing some of the video and the pictures on the YouTube stream. It looks like he'd never thrown a baseball before. So for him to then have the confidence of, oh, I could throw a strike next time, like, I don't know what that form was.
Yeah, he...
But isn't it unfair for us to see what he did at his NFL Combine and then without any coaching or training expect him to go out and throw a strike?
Yeah, like, isn't some that, of that on, is on
him. Us at this point?
Some of it's on him.
All of it is on him.
He should have gotten... And look, maybe you don't get training because that's taking it a little too seriously, but he didn't even warm up. He didn't even throw before he went out on the mound. That's just negligence.
Two important things.
You're saying like he and the girlfriend didn't go out to the park a few times and like
nope.
You know, throw the ball around and have some, you know, measure out 60'6".
I mean, I would dump him. If I was a girlfriend, I'd flat out dump him. It's that embarrassing. You work for a sports station and you are the least athletic person in this company. That's dumpable.
But don't you think if she was going to do that, she would have, like, I thought the football was worth, like, just pure, from a look standpoint,
yeah.
Looked worse. Yeah. Like, the baseball, the ball just flies. The football was more like, could I look at him ever the same way again? No. The baseball is more just like, you know, all right, the guy can't throw. I think if she stayed with him through the football, I think the relationship mm-hmm. has to be really secure.
Yeah, it's pretty strong. Craig, how was Made Him Believe last night?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You know that's not my favorite Badger team. You know, the 2000 team is my favorite Badger basketball team in terms of just the pure unpredictability and, like, you know, there's no chance this could ever happen type thing. But, I mean, that team is such a different level team, the 13-14 and the 14-15 team. And last night, the crowd was unbelievable. It was one of the best crowds for any event in Wisconsin that I've ever seen. Like, in, you know, you could take a sporting event and anything. The most engaged crowd, Bo Ryan just being back, and just everyone was so engaged and so funny, and Frank and Sam and Josh together, and Ben Brust did a remarkable job. It was unbelievable.
So,
I mean,
so-
it was at the Orpheum. There were 600-700 people. The entire lower level of the Orpheum was full, and there were people in the top level. It was just fantastic.
So we had been on this week to talk about it, and I said, the only question I want you to ask is, what happened? How was that answered?
Like, how were they that good? Like,
no, what happened? You're up by 12 with
13 minutes left. 13
oh, my God. Chewy, you have this, like, obsession. Like, you don't understand how hard it is to win 5 single elimination games in a row. You've never done that.
I kind of know a little bit about it. A little bit.
What they accomplished is something that you never accomplished.
How many playoff games did we play before we had to go to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but you lost them. You kept losing them.
And people want to know why, and I told them why. That's all I want to know is why did it happen?
But Chewy, the most playoff games you ever won in a row was 3. I mean, they had to win 5 that year. Like, I mean, that is a different level of consistency. Like so to harp on the Duke game is insane when they had the run that they had. And I thought a really interesting piece of that was the fact that they believe they don't ever go to the championship game the next year. Had they not made it to the Final Four the previous year, because I don't think they believe they wouldn't have been able to raise the bar in their mind and their expectations. But it was unreal to see that group together, and backstage they're just talking. They're like, it's Chewy. It's like you guys. They were literally breaking down plays, like specific plays, and say, when you pop out and I screen for this and you did like. It was just like seeing you guys back together, and it was so cool.
Craig, how should Bucks fans feel about the draft last night? And can you please help me pronounce the young man's name?
No, I can't do that, but I don't think we can think too much about the draft, because even if you have a draft pick in the second half of the first round, there's a 1 in 4 chance that that person becomes a rotation player in the NBA. You know, so I mean, once you second round, you can't really have expectations. You know, if something works out, awesome. But I don't think you could have a lot of expectations on the second round pick. I think the interesting thing is you look around the Eastern Conference and it seems like there's 5 or 6 teams that are the teams that have a chance, and the Bucks are one of them. And so that's the exciting thing coming off of this. Obviously, the Cavs and the Knicks come back very similar to where they were. You add the Orlando Magic with the Desmond Bane acquisition. You throw, you know, teams like the Pacers and the, you know, and the Celtics, who both are going to be without their best players. You know, obviously the Bucks maybe without their our second best player. And then you throw a team like the Atlanta Hawks, who they're going to be really good. If people don't remember, right, the Hawks were in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Bucks the last time the Bucks went to the Eastern Conference Finals, with Jalen Johnson from Milwaukee, who's now a legitimate all-star, and the additional moves that the Hawks made and acquiring an extra first-round pick next year, the Hawks are going to be good now. So the East is getting really interesting, and we know it's not at the level of the West. So if you're a Bucks fan, you feel like you have a chance. This should be a playoff team next year, and we saw it with the Pacers. If you make the playoffs, you got a chance.
Craig, when was the last time you remember this much excitement around a first-year player the way Brewers fans are excited about Jacob Mizorowski?
Oh, that is a good one. I mean, I would think I would have to go back to the postseason last year and how we felt about Jackson Churio is where I'd have to say, and seeing all those jerseys in the crowd last year.
But that was,
and realizing
but that, was
that this
after
guy
an,
was stuck.
That was after an entire season, and then he hits those two, like doing something that only Babe Ruth has done in terms of a postseason game. He sold out AmFam Field for start number 3.
Dude, that was like Fernando Valenzuela stuff, like with the Dodgers back in like 1980, like when there was like Fernando Mania. But seriously, it's to me, the thing that jumped out was like, wow, outside of like Homer and his nonsense takes on Jackson Churio, like we now have 2 years in a row, guys who are energizing the fan base in this way, and specifically the Churio one jumps out because of how long he is signed for. So I don't know what happened at the end of that Cubs and that. Were you guys following? Have you guys talked about this whole not playing the doubleheader thing? Like, whatever that is, you know, that might be a real thing.
Being pushing the doubleheader to August instead of playing it on the third day of the series earlier?
Yeah.
Well, like, and they got to avoid Freddie and Miz in the same day because they've had to face both of them in the same day.
But they avoided Freddie and Miz, but it looked chewy. I don't know if you feel like when you've had teams, like sometimes they've needed a thing to kind of like, as my daughter would say, PMO them.
Yeah.
And once your team is ticked off, it takes them to another level. But it felt like that last game in Chicago, and even just seeing, you know, the team on the field after they won in Chicago, it almost seemed like they were angry. I just feel like this team is a different team than they were a month ago.
Craig, back to the Miz question. Wouldn't Brett be the comp?
No.
Why?
They beat with Brett hold came, on, no they, one cared.
I know, but he beats Cincinnati at the end of the game, and that was his third game, and people went nutso after that.
I think people went nuts, though, but I don't think – I mean, I think Sam Congato might be the comparison from a Packers standpoint. No, I don't think there's a Packers – like, Favre Mania, you know, crazy took off, and then, like, he backed it up. It actually, in a weird way, almost Don Majkowski-esque on some levels. Like, that year, like, where it was just, like – explosive, and he wasn't a rookie in that same way, and Brett wasn't a rookie either.
Well, Brett needed
like, I don't think
detox year, so he kind of
right.
Was a... Well, you can... are we calling Miz a rookie?
He is a rookie.
I don't know about
is there
that.
Another
I guess
distinction
Chewy,
you'd
no,
like to?
No, Gabe, because
explain it to me.
He was in AAA or whatever the best
yeah.
A is.
Is that right. Is that the major leagues,
Gabe? He yeah. just said to you,
baseball?
Or whatever the best A is. I think you can stop. Right? Right?
Is Miz a rookie?
Save I think Craig's breath. With me.
You know, Chewy's point, I will say Chewy's point, you could argue, and I could see, he's not new to professional baseball, right? Like, so yes. baseball's a Thank little different. You get to play professional baseball first, but he's clearly a rookie. But I think that's an... Chewy's brain always comes up with an interesting take.
Well, college football is getting closer and closer and closer to the pros getting? As well. Are we going to sit here and be like...
It is professional football.
Yeah, so... No, but he's a rookie. Matthew Golden is a rookie, right? We all agree with that. Which, speaking of, what if Matthew Golden goes out there and absolutely lights the world on fire in his first few games? Like, maybe they'll have that level of excitement.
Man, I just... I to sell out a 110 Wednesday game... Like,
yeah, that's.
But
yeah.
some I mean, of it was Gabe's also right, Skeens as well, guys. Pitcher. Some of it was the matchup. It wasn't just him going out there and doing it himself. It was that you had Paul Skeens also on the hill for the Pirates.
Yeah, that was part of it. And then he beat Skeens. And now, like, I believe every Miz event, every Miz start for the rest of the year is going
to
be an event.
Oh, 100%. And I was talking to Luis over at Pottawatomie. He said Sportsbook was jammed.
Yeah.
No, standing room only. Every seat was filled for people who couldn't be at AmFam Field. They were at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook taking in the action as well. You weren't here yesterday, Gabe, when Chewy tried to diminish what the Miz had done because it was against the Pirates lineup.
I mean,
oh my God. I mean, Chewy.
They do stink.
Come on.
Craig, it's Tennessee Titans. I mean, come on. What are we doing here?
What he has done in his first three
no,
starts.
No, I'm not taking like, away from that. I'm just saying.
Like
yeah, you really were.
You know, Skeens had a tougher uphill test than Miz did. The Brewers hitting
Here's
is Chewy's 10 times
take.
Better than just pump brakes. You guys get too high, you get too low. You got to be like me.
Yes, yeah,
Here's
exactly.
Here's Chewy's
exactly.
take
right
on
in
it.
The
Miz hasn't won a championship, and anyone who hasn't won a championship hasn't accomplished anything.
All right, you can go now. Can we get some pixelating?
Digitizing. Craig, we appreciate it. Have a good one. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, y'all. Have a good weekend.
Simplify your everyday banking with Great Midwest Bank like I did and open up a checking or savings account today. Experience friendly, simply local service plus competitive rates. The best of both worlds. Great Midwest Bank even offers 24/7 online mobile banking. Whether it's noon on a Tuesday or Saturday night at 11 o'clock, you can access your accounts when you need assistance. Real people helping your real needs. That's Great Midwest Bank. Simply local and member FDIC.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we do? Where do we go from here?
We've talked about insulation, we've talked about fantasy camp, and now we've talked about Burning Man. We've hit for the cycle in the first 5 minutes of the show.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Milwaukee just got hotter, announcing the buys of summer at Ewald Automotive Group. Get the lowest prices guaranteed on new vehicles. Ewald will beat your best price by $500, or they'll pay you $500 cash. Guaranteed. With over 1,500 vehicles to choose from, you'll be sure to find the perfect ride for your family. 11 brands, 10 locations, one easy experience. So don't miss out on the Ewald Buys of Summer sales event going on right now with Ewald. It's always easy. It's why I have used them ever since I have moved to Milwaukee. I've trusted them for over a decade. You can trust them as well. See dealer for the details. Expires at month's end. Always starts at ewaldauto.com.
The big guy has a big adventure tonight, headed to a supper club with some pals. Going to drive about an hour and 10 minutes to do so. So we've had folks weighing in this morning how far they would drive to go to a supper club. Michael in the 262 says, I have a group of friends that go to a few supper clubs every year. We've hit all the main local ones, and now we do a summer trip every year where we find a great Wisconsin supper club and a river to drink and float in. I think the bigger question is, how long would you wait for seating at a supper club? Last year in the Dells, we waited 4 hours for a
table. Ishnala.
Because Ishnala does not take reservations. Yep. 4 hours is insane.
Famously, yeah. The one time... Me and Z, my wife, went up there after we got married 3 years ago.
Yeah.
We ended up eating dinner at like 5 o'clock because we went early knowing that there was going to be a long wait.
That's okay. I'd rather do that than wait 4 hours.
Yeah. No. What we did is we went there at 5 o'clock or so, put our name in, not even showered, went home, showered, came back maybe because their 4 hours is probably three-ish, not really four. And then we came back. Went to the bar, had a couple drinks. It's probably an hour and a half. Bada boom, bada bing. There you go.
Bada boom, bada bing.
I'll never wait that long for anything.
For anything?
No.
I'm trying to think like a shoe drop.
There
or
is
like a
not,
new iPhone.
There is not a quality of food.
Do you know who you're talking to?
There's not a quality of food that would be worth 3 hours of waiting time. There's just simply not.
But again, if you can do what Chewy did and sort of beat the system, then you're not really waiting the 3 hours. You've just found things to occupy, right? Things that you need to do to occupy that time. Chewy was going through the menu, by the way.
He's so excited.
He's so, that's I like know. An hour ago, he was excited. It's increasing by the moment.
It seems a little bougie. I can wear shorts, right?
Yeah, it's a supper club. Yeah, of course you can wear shorts.
What about the backwards hat, though?
No. I'll put some gel in and... I can wear the standard uni.
What did you find when you were looking at the menu?
I mean, a lot of steaks. I know what I'm going with.
I thought you were doing prime rib. Or no? You've already backed off
I
of that?
I don't think there's prime rib.
Saving it all for Saturday.
Kansas City strip. You ever have it? Oh, delish. There's a cowboy ribeye, too, which is bringing it.
Remember what we were talking about in the break, Chew?
Nope. What?
We're going to sit here until you figure it out.
The oysters?
Hey!
Yeah.
This is a preview of Reach You, by the way.
Yeah. Jen, was someone, some lady ordered how many?
I saw a lady on Instagram. So Chewy mentioned that they have oysters. Are you going to get oysters tonight? Okay. So you're going to get oysters. This
Correct.
Lady on Instagram went to a happy hour where they were serving dollar oysters. And she ordered 80 of them.
I could crush.
80 oysters.
I've done 24
it's
like
not...
standing. All right, let me ask you this.
All right. So
keeps comparing 24 to 80.
Hold on. What is the ratio of wings to oysters? 3 oysters equals 1 wing?
Nah.
Probably.
Yeah. I don't think it's so much the amount of food. I think it's the texture that you would get tired of.
You just don't love oysters enough.
I know. I love oysters. Yeah. No, I love them. But like after, again, guys, I'm going to throw out some crazy numbers here. After 50 oysters.
You still got 30 to go.
You got that wiggly oyster now and 49 of his buddies rolling around in your belly. That's where I think you would be cashed out.
And just because you could eat a ton of wings 30 years ago, pal, I hate to break it to you.
The most I had was 65.
Yeah, when?
A long time ago.
1980.
We shut down the ground round, which is one of the all-time
I also think
stories.
She was doing a thing there as much as, like, when you set out to this, the goal is I'm going to have an absurd amount of oysters, and despite me probably not feeling so good after 40, 50, 60, I'm now just trying to prove
exactly.
The point.
But he doesn't need to do that. But he was so confident in saying that he could crush 80 oysters. Now I want to see him try.
Saturday afternoon.
Where are you getting
Saturday
80 oysters?
Saturday afternoon.
I know where.
And involved. More importantly, who's paying for the 80 oysters?
Listen, I'll cash in my kid's college fund. I mean, how expensive could 80 oysters be?
At least she did it on Dollar Oyster Day.
Well, exactly. She took advantage of the system.
Yeah, but a Saturday afternoon, Brewers on TV, air-conditioned bar.
I've got the perfect...
3 hours, crush 80.
You guys,
like,
you guys,
standing on my head.
You guys have heard me talk about Noble Catering, Vault, all that. They do Dollar Oysters. We won't even... You know what? When you do these things, they usually give you little perks to head over there, get you invited. I could do this for free. We could do a whole thing. Where
is it?
It's about 4 blocks from where we currently are.
You're driving an hour and 10 minutes to go to a supper club. You can drive 4 minutes.
So what, you're saying one morning we just post up there?
No, you can't do it in the middle of the week.
Okay, so now we're going to get all of the stipulations.
Not the stipulations. The excuses of why it's never going to actually happen, and he doesn't have to back up whatever he's saying.
I would say we should just do a remote from there, but I don't know if they're going to open up at 7 a.m. to let us crush oysters.
It's totally worth exploring, Joshy. Totally worth
Hit
exploring.
Hit up my friend Dan. We'll figure
Who
it out.
Who thinks Chewy could crush 80 oysters?
Show of hands?
I do. Easily. Yeah, me and Josh.
It's always interesting Relax how the allegiances pan out here.
I know.
You and Josh.
You're not showing up to work the next day.
Well, yeah.
I can't do it. Nah, middle of the week.
Hold on.
I did the fries. That was enough.
I also need to know.
You had a handful of fries.
I know.
I also need to know what you put on your oysters, because this is also going to affect the rumbly tumbly. Do you do lemon juice? Do you do the vinegar that they send with it? Are you doing hot sauce? Like
all the above. Horseradish.
No chance.
Horseradish.
Zero.
Horseradish.
Zero.
Although the vinegar, whatever they do, that is bringing it. That's good stuff. Is that what it is? Ooh, that's good. I'm getting hungry. Anything in the freezer upstairs?
Oh, you just got 11 hours.
Are my hot dogs still up there?
11 hours.
We got a lot of ketchup.
Till the supper club.
We do have a lot of ketchup.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. Stick around.